I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Vicky Patterson, The Secret to... I've got the own name of my podcast there. Is that the name of my podcast? Vicky Patterson, The Secret to... What if...
I hope so. Unless I've come on something else. What else are we doing?
I've totally lost my head. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to part two of Vicky Patterson, The Secret to... I'm joined by a lovely Sean Welby. Who's cute. Do you know what? You are keeping me right today, mate. I'm on... Honestly, let me just totally level with you because I feel like we've got a good rapport going on. I'm on me period, right? And I know that's going to be a lot for people listening, so I'm sorry. But if you follow me on Instagram, you're used to hearing me whinge about all of my fluids. So this will be no surprise to anybody. But Jesus Christ, Sean, right? Like... in my 20s, periods were, yes, a bit painful, yes, uncomfortable, ugh, I don't like tampons, right? Periods in my 30s are an ordeal. Like, they're such an event, mate. Like, for a whole week leading up to the fact, I'm clumsier, I'm more tired, I'm more scatterbrained, I have no energy, like, I'm so lethargic, I have zero enthusiasm for life itself. I'm just such a mess. And now... This fun little tidbit that it's just that Mother Nature has added very recently. I can't find the words I want. Like, I swear to God, mate, I can't articulate myself correctly. So I'm just like sitting there, like, I know the word I want to say. It's like period dementia.
Period dementia. Yeah.
Suffer. Dear. Oh my God, it's so nice. I feel like I've got a kindred spirit. It is. Absolute torture, and heaven forbid a podcast falls on the day when Aunt Flo comes in town, I'm a fucking mess. And I just felt like, you know what, I could try and re-record that, but I'd only do it again, so I'm standing by it, mate.
Vicky Patterson,
yeah. Vicky Patterson, proud woman on her period, can't even remember the name of her own podcast. There we go.
You know, right, just quickly, seriously, somebody has done something recently, this woman, saying how you should plan your business and your, like, anything you do around your period. Because exactly what she was basically saying, like, never do a big business deal on the week you're on your period because you just won't. And I've never really thought about it, but it does send you loopy, doesn't it? It sends you mad.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, Sean. Like, worse and worse as I get older. Like, got to be honest. But yeah, you're so right. Like, my life coach, and like, again, like, I'm sorry if I'm boring anybody, but he always says to us, like, you have times of the day even where, and this is not period related, this is just an average day, where you're just more, and I can't find the word I want, as if on cue, it means like when you do the stuff you want to do with your day, like everything's
not productive.
That's the word, Sean! Be my brain today. Yes, thank you. So yeah, you have slots in the day where you're just not as productive, and you should like almost keep a bit of a journal and a diary and say like, oh right, between 8 and 10, I'm fucking flying. So proactive, nothing can stop me. So that's when I whack in me big calls. That's when I do me important meetings. That's when I do my pitches. I don't know what job I've got in my head.
You're clearly selling Alan Sugar.
I'm an inventor, apparently. So, yeah. And then, like, you have these lulls. And for me, like, obviously, they tend to be post-meal times. So don't put anything, like, fancy schmancy and big in when you're having your little carb coma and stuff. So I suppose it's what this lady is proposing is, like, an extension of that.
Just
plan around your periods, which I don't think's a bad idea, mate, because look at us. Yeah, you're having to act as my fucking mouthpiece.
What an honour it's been. I'm putting that on my CV, I tell you.
A couple more fucks, son, you'll have the job. Oh, Sean, thank you so much for being patient with me today, pet. It really is a proper pleasure. I always get nervous when I have like someone like you on because I think, God, she's got like she's on Capital Breakfast Show. They've got like so many millions of listeners. She's going to think, who is this tiny crazy woman and what am I doing? But you've been so nice. Do you love being a radio host?
Oh, mate, I love it. And by the way, you are fucking brilliant at what you do, by the way. There is, you should never feel like that. You are made to be in the entertainment business. There is no question about that. But yeah, probably exactly how you feel when you're doing all the stuff that you do. I wake up, I love the job. I feel very lucky to do what was almost like a dream. Yeah. It was my dream job and I feel very lucky that I am doing it.
You'd have to, mate, to get up at that time in the morning, no?
I know.
You know what I mean? I sometimes set alarms on my phone. Like I myself had a 4:30 a.m. start the other week. I did Ian Sterling's got a new show coming out and I was a guest on it.
Yeah.
And when the alarm went off at 4:30, I had to caption it, "Remember you fucking love what you do."
That sounds good.
Because otherwise I would have been like, fuck you, Ian Sterling. I'm not getting up. This is crazy.
Do you know what my alarm is? Stop snoozing, you silly bitch. I have to do it. Otherwise, if I get to a point where I keep snoozing, that's it. I'm gone.
Yeah. That snooze button is dangerous, girl. It's so dangerous. Right. So you work with Sunny J and Roman. So you and the two boys, how have you found being the only girl? Do you love it? Is it like a big brothery vibe? Do they ever get on your tits? I want all the inside goss, Sean.
Do you know what? There's definitely like brother vibe. Like when I first met them, instantly they felt like my kind of lad mates from school, lad mates from home. We definitely all clicked and all got on. And I can't really say a bad word about them because they make me fucking howl. Like I'm crying with laughter every single day. I mean, apart from the room absolutely stinks of boys and
wet and farts.
I'm
not surprised with Roman on them brand flakes all the time. He wants to watch his intake. Lads, it's dangerous. I'm telling you. I'm not a dietitian, would even ask. That sounds mental.
Yeah, the room has quite often got some sort of green haze. I feel sorry for people coming in, actually, because we get used to it. It's like, I reckon opening that studio door is like when that poor pilot opens up the door after a long-haul flight. The smell must be disgusting. Oh. But I've got kind of used to that. Yeah, foist. Bit of a foist in the air. But yeah, I've got used to the smell, and I'm grown quite accustomed to it. And yeah, I don't even know. There's so much stuff that we laugh about that we could never, ever say on breakfast radio. And we have such a laugh in between the songs that sometimes by the time it comes to the link, one of us has gone. And the worst thing is, if we've been pissing about and laughing at something ridiculous and we've not really had our eye on the ball, and then the next thing we're doing might be a big, serious charity piece.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh God, no, I can't look at Sunny. Sunny is the worst at corpsing. Sometimes I have to do this. He has to go under the desk because otherwise Roman will get put off and we have to all hide. And somehow Roman keeps it together. I don't know how he doesn't laugh, but he can.
Professional.
Yeah, he can get back in the zone. Whereas me and Sunny are just gone. It's terrible.
It's them showbiz genes of Roman's, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
like, he's from good stock. Yeah. Every time I say Roman, I ask him how his dad is.
Yeah.
He fucking hates it. I absolutely love his dad. And he's always like, Vic, I swear, he's like, all you ever do is ask about me dad. I was like, I know. Sorry. Honestly, so fucking fit.
I feel sorry for him because I think every date he's ever been on, he's fancied his dad. It's like, imagine that, how awkward that is.
Bless him. Do you know what? My mum's actually a lovely bit of kit, and I've had like more than like one fella be like, God, if you look half as good as your mum,
when you're her age, like, I'll happily stay with you. And I think there's a compliment in there somewhere, but I'm not sure I'm loving it. But yes, I'm going out with, like, Roman Muscat 10 times as worse. Oh. Because his dad is an absolute stud.
Yeah, and he's just such a nice man. He must be the most liked man in Britain.
Do you know what? I promised myself I wasn't going to do this. I promised myself I was not going to get Sean Welby on and just talk to her about Roman Kemp's dad. And here I am again. I'm moving on. Let's not do this. He's had too much airtime. Everyone knows how much I fancy him. It's creepy.
Oh, I love it.
Right, so do you think your amazing chemistry with the lads and just that really, like, natural, easygoing friendship you've got is why the show is such a big success? Because it is.
I think, if you know what feels really nice? I joined during lockdown and it was a weird time, and I genuinely think a lot of people turn to podcasts and radio because it's company, yeah, isn't it? Yeah. And I feel really lucky that we did get a load of new people join us at a time when I was new. So it was nice for them to get to know me. And I felt like part of the team quite quick because we spent, they were the only guys I saw at one point. Like, they were the only people I saw. And it was...
your lockdown family.
Yeah, no, it really was. I think we bonded even quicker because of lockdown, because we had to spend a lot of time in that room together. Yeah. It wasn't like we were off doing different things. You know, remember, like, last year, Roman would have been in the jungle the year before. And so it was a bit more like intense, but it meant that we bonded really quick. And I think then the laughter and the jokes are all so genuine.
Yeah.
People know when you're bullshitting, and they know when you're fake laughing, and they know when it's forced fun. And I think we're so lucky that we do all have the same sense of humour. And if one of us is feeling a bit flat or tired, the other two can bring that person back up. So it is it's a real teamwork game. And genuinely, I feel like the way that us three work is so... it's just one of those little moments where it's all clicked.
Yeah, and it feels natural and organic. And you're right, like, you can't fool people. They're savvy. That's what... And people just like to listen to you because you're natural and nice. I completely get it, mate. So you... At Capital, you get some pretty incredible guests, and you must have interviewed some pretty amazing people. Who's been your favourite person you've interviewed so far?
God, it's so hard, isn't it? Because I feel like sometimes I find it quite surreal to think that I have met so many random people, and you will have done the same. It almost becomes a bit too normal.
Yeah.
And then you've almost taken it for granted, haven't you?
No, I know what you mean. You can easily fall into a routine of taking these amazing things or meeting these fabulous people for granted. But I think lockdown's been a real leveler for that. Like, I know I've been whinging about early starts and jobs and stuff, but I'm kidding. Like, I do think I'll never take a job for granted or, like, an opportunity for granted again. Like, I do feel very grateful. So, yeah, so for me, that's really mixed things up. But I suppose for you, it's not stopped. So you do have to be careful, don't you?
Yeah, and I think what I took for granted is having those big stars literally sat in the room with you. Like, yeah. And I was... sometimes when I was on Heart, for example, or my show in the evenings, I literally, it was just me and them in the room, and I had like half an hour sometimes with them. Other times you are literally pushing it 7 minutes, or it's like, go, go, yeah, go. But I've forgotten how lucky it was that, you know, I could get Pink to try British weird food, and I electrocuted Chris Pratt, and I think I did all this stuff, and I was physically touching everybody and hugging them and kissing,
yeah,
and, you know, I got Charlie Puth to shave my eyebrow, and now I take that for granted because everything that I've done since has been on a Zoom like this.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Like, I do miss that, like, not even talking about from, like, a work perspective, like, meeting amazing people. Like, by the way, I don't know what I'd do if I met Pink. I think I'd absolutely lose my shit.
She was the best. She was my fave.
Was she? Oh, was she? Oh, yeah, I knew she would be. It's just, what a badass bitch, man. Such girl power vibes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just miss humans in general, Sean. I really do. Like, I'm going to go on, like, a hugicidal rampage when this is over.
Yes.
Nobody's going to be safe from these great big arms. Like, I am going to be like Mr. Tickle, and I'm going to hug everybody whether they want it or not, because I miss human interaction and intimacy, like, friendship, all the rest of it. So much so, like, Zoom's just... I think it's worn a bit thin, hasn't it, the Zoom hype?
I just think we've all realised that we are social creatures.
Yeah.
And I definitely am. I don't like being alone. And I love a hug. And I love being able to grab someone's arm when I'm laughing. And I love being able, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm one of those hands-on people. And I feel very rude almost at the moment that I'm not saying hello to people properly. And I'm in photographs looking like Madame Tussauds next to Roman and Sonny. We've never been able to have a photo even together in the same... It's mental. We're on posters and billboards and we're in different rooms when it's taken.
Oh, man. I feel so sorry for you. Yeah, like, honestly, speaking as a tactile person, like, it just feels so unnatural not being able to. And I am really looking forward to being my handsy, freaky self when this is all over. Seems. Right, I've got to ask, what was your hardest interview? Don't say this one. It's only because I'm on my period. Don't say this one. Any other one you can say.
No, this one's been amazing. Hardest, yeah. Let me think. I remember years ago, I was on a red carpet and it was, some of my early presenting was literally red carpet premieres, just sticking the mic out and trying to get the celeb. And I remember Daniel Craig.
He's well renowned to be a bit of a belly, Lily.
He was just in a really bad mood. And I psyched myself up and I'd done so much prep because I was so nervous. Uh-huh. And the guy in front of me totally fucked it up for me because he got him in a foul mood.
No.
It was the Tintin premiere, right? So I don't think Daniel Craig was as... I can't say that he wasn't as proud of it because that's me talking on his behalf. But he didn't seem as maybe as enthused to be on that red carpet as an animated dog or whatever he was. Right?
I can't believe you just mugged Tintin off like that. Do you know what though, right? In Tintin's defence, which is a sentence I never thought I'd say, he got really upset about being Bond, didn't he? Like,
yeah.
He's never looked happy about being Bond either. And I'm like, mate, that is the coolest job in the world. Like, 007, licensed to, like, kill and shag loads of birds. Like, surely you should be over the moon. But no, he still looks really angry about that. So I don't think we can blame Tintin. He's quiff or his little dog. It's actually just Daniel Craig is a bit sassy. And that is okay to say. It's okay to say, yeah, you probably can't say it on Cat Love, but you can see it here.
Also, can I just say, on the next poster, I want License to Kill and Shag Birds. That should be the new tagline.
I should be getting paid, shouldn't I?
You should.
Honestly, who wouldn't want to watch that? Go on, tell me. So the fella before you fucked it.
So the guy before... So basically, actually, Tintin is a Spielberg movie, so to give it that due, right?
Yeah.
And so the guy next to me went, oh, Daniel, you must be over the moon finally getting to work with Spielberg, right? And his face dropped and he went, you know what? This is what I hate about reporters when you don't do your homework like this.
And no!
Now, because I've done my Wikipedia search, I knew that he'd already done a Spielberg movie. In fact, I think he might have worked with him twice. So this guy saying, finally, you're working with him, it pissed him off. And he went, you know what, mate, do your homework, do your research. And come. You know, he was livid.
Oh,
and he came
God.
To me and I was like early 20s. I must have been 23. I was bricking it, I was sweating. And so I just thought, I've just got to crack a joke. And I just went, so Daniel Craig, what's it like to finally work with Steven Spielberg? Thank God he laughed. Thank God he just laughed. And then I could ask my questions and but he was so angry.
Yeah, mate, honestly, like, I don't know. That was fast thinking on your feet there, girl, because I would have probably just cried. Like, I would have been so nervous after that. But that is big. I can always remember, right? MTV putting me on the red carpet. It was to celebrate the start of the launch of X on the Beach. So they whacked me on the red carpet and so many things went wrong on the way there from your first big presenting job. For starters, I'd had this dress made, and like the woman lived in Liverpool, so like getting fitted was really difficult. But I'd gone up a week before, she took all my measurements, everything was going to be fine. Well, I put it on the night, and my tit just fell out the top.
Oh no, so, no.
Yeah, honestly, like it was quite low cut, it was red, it was dead sexy. Like I looked like that little emoji. And honestly, the minute I put on, my tit just fell out. So there was no way I could get it to stay in. It was like the way the dress was, it was as if it was deliberately designed to have me left breast hanging out. So I was like, well, what am I going to do? So we zip a leather jacket up over the top of this beautiful red dress on the NTA's red carpet. So I was mortified because of all the palaver and hoopla trying to like fix this dress and come up with a solution. I was then running late, stuck in traffic, getting from like central London to the O2 on NTA's night. Oh, you can't get there for love nor money.
No.
So I was an hour and a half late. I'd missed loads of people. And oh, MTV were fuming. The lass who was looking after us was fuming. I was so nervous that I thought, I've missed everybody. Like, this is just going to be a disaster. Anyway, Kris Jenner arrived late. I know. And I thought, yes, there is a God. So I was so nervous, so full of anxiety, so desperate to not let everyone down after the disaster that it had been so far, I just ran over to her and got clotheslined off of security.
please tell me there's footage somewhere of that.
Oh. TV, you've probably got it somewhere. I was like, Chris.
like a crazed fan in your weird leather jacket.
Looking like half that little Spanish lady emoji and half a like a biker chick, just like hurtling towards one of the most recognisable women in the world, like Kris Jenner. And honestly, I just felt this giant forearm come out and it was like, stay back. And honestly, I just fucking fell. It was awful. And I was still like holding my little ex on the beach mic and being like, Kris, no, she just walked up. Tell me about one of your exes, Kris. It was awful. It was the worst. So, yeah, I mean, we've all been there. We've all had a stinker on the red carpet.
Oh, mate, I've, honestly, like, the more you say, I've had so many. Like, I've had stuff like when I remember I said yes to doing the red carpet for the Harry Potter 10-year premiere. I'd only watched two of them. Schoolboy error.
For starters, you're a disgrace. You're a disgrace.
I have since watched them all. But at this point, I've seen two, right? Out of order as well. I didn't know which ones I'd seen.
What is wrong with you? You're a psychopath who watches them in the wrong order? Sean! Criminal.
So I was there on the red carpet and I honestly didn't know who was in it and who was a guest. I had to try and guess if they acted in it or if they were just there to see it. It was a nightmare.
Were you just trying to spot the real wizards? Is that what you're telling me? Oh.
So embarrassing.
Schoolboy error. But like, you made up for it with the Daniel Craig thing. He's a tough nut to crack, isn't he?
Yeah,
it sounds like he was putty in your hands.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I wonder, before I let you go, Sean, like, you've just been so lovely to talk to.
Aww.
Here on Vicky Patterson The Secret 2, we always ask our lovely guests to impart a couple words of wisdom. And listening to you talk, like, it's so obvious to me. You've had real faith in your journey and took some leaps of faith and trusted you were making the right decision. And it's so paid off for you. It's so lovely to see, like, how you love your job now. You're definitely in the right place for you. And I think there'll be a lot of people out there who feel a bit insecure and a bit scared about having that faith. So I want to know, what is your secret to trusting in the universe?
I think it really is just believing that whatever it is that you're after, you will get there. And it's almost understanding that it won't ever happen in the order or time that you want it to. So you might
expect the unexpected.
Yeah, I think, like, honestly, you have to learn to be as patient as fuck. Like, I can't even, that's the only way I can put it. You've got to learn to, like, even if you are ambitious, you've got to learn to be patient, because the second you start getting impatient, you make really bad decisions and you start doing things that you think will quickfire you somewhere.
Yeah. No, mate, I got so excited because I was like, yes, everything you're saying is so right. Yeah, like, you do. Once you deviate from that path, or you get impatient and you start to make those really rash decisions, that's when things start to go wrong. You have to have that faith.
You do. And you know what? It applies to any job. I mean, it's, you know, so many industries are so difficult to get to the top and or to get to that dream position. And I've seen it happen to mates or boyfriends or whatever, where they've gone, oh, I went for this job and I didn't get it. Or I went for this promotion. They didn't offer me this, but they gave me that. And I always go, you know what? You weren't supposed to get it. Like, just trust that you weren't ready for that yet. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but even down to meetings, or it's always that thing you least can be bothered to do, or the job interview you're dreading the most and you could just cancel it. They're the ones that weirdly always pan out to move you to the next step. And it might not be the way you thought. Who'd have thought you would get into radio via weather? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. But it is possible. You just have to trust that you can't get what you want straight away. And you just have to, like, find your way. Do it on your own time. Don't compare yourself to anyone else. Because some people will leapfrog you, won't they? And you can. I think it's okay to feel a bit jealous, but you've got to learn to let go of it and feel happy for people and go, you know what? Good for them, because there'll be people wanting the job I've currently got, and I've got to be, you know, proud of where you are at the moment. Yeah. And then maybe your time comes 2-3 years later, but it all comes there in the end, I think.
It's so right. Like, it is so right. And as well, it's not just, like, career and stuff as well. Like, I remember certain moments in my life where I've thought, why is this happening to me? Like, I was, like, you know what I mean? Like, you've really, whether it's, like, a relationship breakdown, whether it's a loss of a job, like, maybe it's a fallout with a friend, whatever it is, you often think in the heat of the moment, like, oh, my God, you can't take a step back from it and sort of say, I know why this is happening. This is the universe. In the heat of the moment, we're all so close to it. It's like, you're just upset, aren't you?
Yeah.
But you know, years later, you look back on those things and you realise, I wasn't meant to have that job, or I wasn't meant to be with that person.
Yeah.
And, like, isn't it funny how things fall apart so they can come back together the right way?
100%. And I always remember hearing Keanu Reeves, the actor, say you should always be grateful for your exes. And I get what he means. Like, those people were right for you at the time and they got you, you know, they're part of your journey. Yeah. You don't have to, I mean, don't get me wrong. Sometimes you probably are allowed to fucking hate your ex, depending on what's happened.
Keanu didn't fucking meet mine, though, did he?
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Even if it was a rocky breakup, or if something really horrible came of stuff, you definitely learn, you get stronger, you don't make the same mistakes, or you know who you are more. So I do think even the lows in life are those things that, like, you learn something, don't you? So it's kind of, it's hard at the time, but in reflection, you know, now I'm in my 30s, I can look back and think, yeah, I wasn't supposed to do that job yet. And I'm glad I didn't do that first, because I might have been not ready for it, messed it up and blown my chance.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're still right. There's that saying, isn't there? And it's like, it's valleys will teach you stuff that mountaintops never will.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to just fly high and have a really nice time and not have any struggles, but you're not growing as a person. Like, you're not showing yourself what you're made of. You're not becoming stronger. You're not also learning things like compassion and kindness. And ultimately, if you're on the mountaintop an awful lot, you can become a bit of an arsehole.
Yeah.
So no, I totally agree with everything you said, and trusting in the universe, Sean, has really worked for you. And honestly, I just hope it keeps doing so, because this has been lovely and you're such a nice person.
Well, absolutely. Same to you. And I think it's, you know, it's just so nice to actually speak to other humans that aren't Roman and Sunny. So thank you for that.
No, you're welcome. Listen, before I let you go, I do have to ask. Sunny's just absolutely smashed Dancing on Ice. Roman, of course, was a legend in I'm a Celeb a couple of years ago. Am I going to see you on a big reality TV show soon? And if so, what would be your dream one?
Oh, God. Do you know what? I am so game for anything, if I'm being honest. I mean, although I am a shit dancer, so I don't know how I would do on Strictly. I'm honestly the clumsiest person who thinks they can dance at 3 a.m. I'm that person.
But that's who we want to see on Strictly, Sean. That's who we want to see.
I'll be the one literally dragged around the floor, the joke act.
The egg balls.
Yeah,
the egg balls.
I would be the egg balls.
I loved Ed so much. I would happily have you be the Ed.
Yeah, I don't know. We always joke about it because, yeah, the boys have done theirs and they're always like, come on, Sean, what are you on next? And I'm a bit like, I don't know what's left. I'll end up
you greedy bastards.
Yeah. They're like, oh, you're on Homes Under the Hammer. That's all right. Great.
It'll basically like, Sean will be on The Farms on Ice for Stand Up to Cancer.
The jump on a pig whilst baking an omelette.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We should make the ultimate show that's all of them.
Just and it could be like the Hunger Games of all reality TV shows. You literally fight to the death. I've taken it too far. I think it's the period. I'm sorry.
I would watch that. If someone was like trying to make a souffle while skiing, I'm watching.
Oh, who's not watching that though, hun? But also they do have to be eating a bug at the same time. Or drinking kangaroo penis.
Yes, that's perfect. I think okay. We've got a bit of a formula here. We should just get it into writing and then,
We've nailed it. Roman's in with ITV. Let's just get him to give it to a big wig. We've smashed it, mate. We're going to retire.
So it's dancing... What would it be called? I'm a
Celebrity on Ice Bake Off?
I'm a Celebrity on Ice Bake Off.
The Great British I'm a Celebrity on Ice Bake Off?
Yeah. The Great British... I'm a Celebrity on Ice Bake Off. Oh no, the Strictly British. There's got to be some dancing in there as well. We'll line it out.
We'll work on it, guys. And we'll say goodbye to you as well. Thank you so much for joining me, Sean. You're an angel.
Oh, mate, thank you so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
That was the lovely Sean Welbury. Oh, God. Honestly, just feel so lucky that I get to chat to so many gorgeous people that I wouldn't have spoke to if it wasn't for this podcast. So I'm feeling very grateful. I hope you guys love that. If you are enjoying the series, Vicky Patterson's Secret 2, then please, please, please leave a review. Only a nice one. If you've got anything nasty to say, just fuck off. I kind of take it. I've got a sensitive disposition. Tell your mates about it. Send her an email, vickypattersonpodcast@gmail.com. And yeah, just by word of mouth, make our lovely little podcast grow. Have a great week, guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.